Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the Brave 54 co-main event between Mohamed Mokaev and Blaine O'Driscoll. I'm going to get into this fight. Make sure you check out this card, though. The main event, the lightweight title's on the line. Amin Ayoub taking on Ahmed Amir. And then all the way down the card, these names you'll recognize: Marcin Bandel, Mohamed Grabinski, Ismail Narodiev. There's good fights on this card, so make sure you check it out. But this is the one that stands out. Obviously, a lot of people are excited for Mokaev. 22-0, undefeated amateur career, turned pro, undefeated at 4-0 pro. Very exciting prospect, skills everywhere, lot of expectations for him. Blaine O'Driscoll, record of 9-4, a real tough, high-output fighter fighting out of SBG Ireland under John Kavanagh. Came into Brave on off two first-round finishes and was, you know, was really looking strong, and then immediately got matched up against Shorty Torres, which was, you know, of course, a rough outing, but a good performance nonetheless. This is a good matchup and a logical step forward for Mokaev, because, you know, his last fight he was pushed a little bit over three rounds. I certainly think Blaine O'Driscoll's got the output and the toughness to push him, and also make it a bit chaotic in the process. And I do think that that's where Mokaev looks his best. You know, I've watched all of his fights today, and the thing that's clear to me is when he's up against someone that he respects and that he thinks is dangerous, he raises his game to match or beat theirs. If he's fighting someone that he kind of feels like he can toy with, he kind of does. You see him, you know, he plays a little bit. And this is not a kind of fight to play, because Blaine O'Driscoll several times comes through a rough first round, claws his way back into a fight, turns the tables on his opponent, and has just got the durability to last. Okay, right, let's quick get into this. So, first playlist is Mokaev's pro debut against Glenn McVeigh. So this was, of course, he's not stepping in as a first time fighter here. He's had a lot of experience under very similar settings with, you know, slightly heavier gloves and shin guards, but very similar setting. And we just saw a really well rounded game. I've included this because it's just such lovely takedown defense. Because he's a good wrestler, because he has that confidence that he can wrestle, he throws a lot of kicks. He's quite aggressive with his forward attack. You know, sometimes you'll see him sprint at his opponent or he'll throw kicks that very nearly get caught, or sometimes do get caught. But people very rarely are able to take him down. And if they are, they can't hold him down. Like, check this high kick out here. I'll just put it on slow-mo. High kick, gets caught, trapped. And as he's going to the floor, he immediately turns into his opponent and turns that into an attack before bailing out. That was a perfect example of mixed martial arts all the way through. It wasn't striking, it wasn't jiu-jitsu, it wasn't wrestling, it was all of it. Here we go, full speed kick. Turns a takedown into a reversal, goes to attack himself, and then starts to defend the single leg and kicks him off. Like, good balance, good aggressiveness, you know, and then he throws that body kick and really, really hurts McVeigh. This is a lovely kick. See, again, you know, he's not bothered about getting the kick caught because he knows that most likely the person's not able to either keep a hold of it or take him down. And he hammers this into the midsection. Bang. And you can see the posture of McVeigh as he backs up. Now his elbows have dropped. Now you can see he's very uncomfortable. And it just, you know, furthers the confidence of Mokaev, who's still not rushing in like a wild man. You know, first time fight, you know, first time pro fight, a lot of fighters would have rushed forward. And that's the benefit of coming through IMAF, of having the experience, you know, as an amateur, because, you know, he's just patient here. I mean, he's talking to his opponent. He's hitting him with heavy shots, making everything count. Very efficient, very direct, but just kind of, you know, poised, calm, composed, you know, not things that you would expect from someone in their first pro fight. Great takedown defense, just, you know, so quick at getting his legs free as well. I mean, you can see why people are excited about him. And this pro debut really lived up to people's expectations, because he just completely shut his opponent out. It was a unanimous decision win, but McVeigh really didn't get into the fight. You know, we saw every single range from Mokaev, and he decided where the fight went. You know, when he decided he wanted the fight to stay standing, he defended takedowns and kept beating his opponents up. hit him hard to that body. And when McVay shot in and he decided to switch the tables, he sat on top of him and just beat him up from top. Like, it was a very comprehensive performance, I think is the best way of putting it. O'Driscoll's a bit chaotic. It works for him, though, and that's one of the reasons why this, I think, is an interesting fight, because I do feel like O'Driscoll's got a higher work rate, a higher output naturally than Mokaev. Like, Mokaev's more calculated. He'll pick his shots and he'll read his opponent and back him up. And then, you know, if he does sprint forward with a sprint attack, it's only short-lived before he either level changes or creates space and goes back to steady movement and planning. O'Driscoll's got almost like a... I keep dropping it in these war rooms. I keep saying it. He's got like a Rod Tang timing. Like, it's a constant, I'm going to keep touching you. Keep over and over again. It's like there's a metronome in his head. And every time it chimes, he's got to make contact with his opponent. And, you know, as I said, he came into Brave against Shorty Torres, which is a big ask for anyone, especially in the debut of a new organization. And in the first minute, you think to yourself, right, this guy could be problems. You know, especially if he's not fighting someone that is the elite level that Torres is. So anybody lower than that is going to get eaten up, because his constant work rate, quite happy to take a few shots, constantly peppering his opponent, not really necessarily thinking too much about what he's throwing, but just making sure something's happening. You know, and he does get to people because, you know, I mean, this is like a Clay Guida kind of pace. You know, you can't maintain this pace for long before you have to take control of it. I mean, the point of difference here is that to me, Torres looked a little bit stronger and bigger, and he was able to clamp onto him and slow him down. But you can see this pace in the first minute. You know, this is what Mokaev might be up against, and it might force him to wrestle. You know, he might not want to deal with this pace of striking. But this, I feel, is where O'Driscoll's strength is in this fight, is that he has the confidence, no matter who he's up against, that he can do this to them. He can push them back. Partly because he's you know, quite happy to, you know, to take a few shots, but also because he's really good at working his way out of bad situations. Like, he never stops moving, whether he's attacking or defending. Look at this little step out here. Steps his back foot out. Steps it all the way out over here. And then drags his rear elbow, his elbow out, his left elbow. And then he's immediately on the back of Torres. Just a tricky person to deal with in every range, and constantly works at a pace that makes you think in the moment, on the spot, without a great deal of time for planning. Look, jumps on a guillotine, bails out, doesn't do everything right, admittedly. But that's a part of the charm of his style, I think, is that he's frustrating in that way. Is that, oh, I feel like I can take his back, and then you go to jump on him and he defends. Oh, I've got a big takedown here, and he lands, and immediately he's scrambling back to the fence. And, you know, within a few seconds, he's back on his feet. He's stripped the grip, he's turned into you, and he's back to space again. Like, I mean, it's seconds and he's back to his feet. Like, that kind of pace can be frustrating for anybody, no matter what level that you're coming in against. And O'Driscoll stepped into Brave at the level of Shorty Torres and held his own. He had a good performance against a very, very tough guy. Now he's taking on Mokaev, who's still early in his pro career. You know, he's still four fights in. Of course, a dangerous individual, very well-rounded. But that kind of pace might be the cracking point of Mokaev. And that's why this is a good matchup, is because we're either going to see him struggle with it or we're going to see him overcome it and look even better. Now, Mokaev's more recent fight, obviously his last fight was a no contest due to the groin kick. The last complete fight that he had against Abdul Hussein was far more competitive than most. Now, Hussein's a good grappler. That was clear from the start of the fight, and there was a real competitiveness with their grappling. It was almost like they wanted to test one another. And this is what I'm talking about with, you know, if he's fighting, no disrespect to anybody, but if he was fighting Glenn McVay, that's the level that he fights at. If he's fighting Abdul Hussein, he jumps his level up because he knows that the person he's taking on is much more of a threat. And they got into some really, really interesting scrambles. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed watching this fight. Definitely, you know, go and check it out. But it was nice to see him pushed. You know, it was nice to see not everything go his way. it was nice to see him be forced to adapt and change things and, you know, see how his chain wrestling is, see how he solves problems in the moment. Like, that's what he might have to do against a Driscoll. He's going to have to solve problems in the moment. That is just, I am going to clip this and send it to my phone and share it with all of our fighters in a minute, because it's just so slick. It's such a nice little adjustment. We saw something very similar recently in the Atomweight tournament over in One, where we saw Denise bump her hips forward to clear a hook. This is a very similar circumstance, but I've honestly never seen this adaptation before. So Mokaev shoots a very low shot. He often has a low shot, and he often builds himself up from this, which, again, is going to be a challenge for a Driscoll, because, I mean, he's going to have to be super quick on his takedown defense, and even if he is able to recognize it, to be able to stop it, it's another thing. Okay, so Mokaev's come up here. He goes to lift, and you'll see Hussein hook his leg. This is a very sneaky little stabilizing trick that he does. You can see how his leg's hooked there around the back of the knee of Mokaev. So of course, what that's doing is as Mokaev's lifting him, that hook is stopping him lifting him any further, which means that it stifles the slam, and he's forced to put him back down on his feet, which you know, is a massive waste of energy. And that's what happens here. You know, he goes to lift him, he realizes he doesn't have it, can't get the takedown. Hussein lands back on his foot, and then he runs him to the fence. Now, that's very good from Hussein. It's how Mokaev adapts around it. So he comes back around, faces him for a moment. Doesn't really change anything about his approach. But this time, as he steps out, you can see it from this angle. It's better on the replay. So as you can see here, now Hussein's got the hook on the leg again. But what Mokaev does is he changes that as a restriction to a control on his opponent. He hooks it himself and pulls the leg out. And this, it's a bit of a, I mean, he kind of jumps into it. It's a really nice technique. A bit risky, because I think it's somewhat made up on the spot. I mean, it's not something I've seen at all in mixed martial arts in my time. So the hook at the moment is serving Hussein very well, but immediately Mokaev switches it to become his own hook. Pulls him out, lifts his own foot, so he jumps off his right foot and lands on his opponent. Now, just watch this replay on from the other angle. Here we go, we can see it better here. Okay, so there's the hook around the back of the leg there. Hussein stifling this takedown again. Mokaev's going to step his right foot towards his left foot. So it's right on the edit here. He's going to step this right foot here over to his left foot, and that's going to allow him to lift his left foot out of the way and use that as a hook. Step, lift, and then as it gets to its height before it can go any further, and bear in mind Mokaev is incredibly flexible. You'll see him do the splits in his corner sometimes. As he lifts the hook here, he's going to hop off his right foot and land full body weight down onto his opponent. It is, I mean, honestly, it's, I like to celebrate the little things when I see them, and this is quite a nice adaptation. Lovely takedown. But as I said, this fight was forced him to adapt. See, there's a takedown that fails. He attacks an armbar, and then he rolls through and attacks the back from here. It's just the transitions. We've not seen him as much in his other fights because the people that he's been up against have not been able to challenge him in this way, and Hussein was. And this is why this is another logical step up, because I think being able to control a Driscoll is going to be a real challenge, and matching the pace that he sets is going to be a real challenge. Again, just another lovely scramble here. So comes off the arm, hooks the ankle there, pulls himself through and feeds his right knee through and grabs the ankle there. So this control here, it's almost like a he's got like a reverse butterfly guard. So he's using this hook here and this control on the leg, and then he's got a control on the leg here, and he's going to pull this knee through, and then he's going to pull on the ankles, and he's going to drive forward with his knees, and it's a way of taking the back of your opponent, but still doesn't quite get it, still has to adapt. I mean, you know, this is what I'm saying. You know, he's up against someone that's really challenging him, that's trying to scramble out of these positions, and he's still able to better him. Just lovely work. Really nice to watch. Big takedown here. Binds the legs straight away. You know, a lot of the typical things that we're now starting to see in MMA of like trapping the legs and controlling wrists and stuff, but with the same kind of venom that you would see him throw on the feet if he was trying to knock somebody out, you know, cracking elbows and heavy hands and, you know, just very, very calculated. Again, different to O'Driscoll. O'Driscoll is someone that is, you know, he kind of throws himself into the fight. He sets his own pace and then he forces his opponent to match that pace. And it's, sometimes it's very difficult. Like I said also, though, sometimes he does pay for it. Sometimes he comes through really rough rounds where he gets stung with a shot and rocked, or, you know, he gets taken down and he gets his neck attacked or something, and then he's able to work his way out and he's able to turn it on his opponent. He's a survivor, and that's one of the reasons why I feel like he's going to be able to really, really push Makhachev, because he's not going to go away lightly. He's not going to go away quietly, let's say that. This fight against Don Woodin was a really good back and forth one. A good example of his toughness, because, I mean, he lost the first round. You know, his takedowns were getting stuffed. He was getting taken down himself. It was a real rough fight. But in the second round, he was just so close to taking the victory. Nice leg reap there, good top pressure, and good head position. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be able to do this to Makhachev, but if he hurts him or if he gets him really, really fatigued and he's able to push him, then, you know, this is a position that might be a value to him, and it might be a real shock to the system for Makhachev, who might completely discount the idea of O'Driscoll trying to hold top position. Very similar to what I've seen recently with Volkanovski, this is, you know, posting and refusing to grapple until they turn and give their back. Something quite consistent in his game, you know, 4 submissions on his record, 4 rear naked chokes. It's what he loves to do. And, you know, in pressures, catches people with big shots. Watch this wicked knee that he catches Robinson with here. Backs him up against the fence. Just pressure over and over again. Level changes onto a knee, and then he's on him and stays on him and works all the way around taking his back, same as before with Don Woodin. You know, although this time he actually is able to finish the rear naked choke in the first round. And it's, go and watch this fight. It's on YouTube. You can watch it yourself. He almost gets submitted with a rear naked choke, and he almost gets knocked down, and then he's able to knock his opponent down and rear naked choke him. His resilience is something to behold. I'm just really excited to see how he can push Makhachev, because, you know, like little mistakes, you know, little lapses of concentration, you know, if Makhachev feels like he's running away with this fight, you know, O'Driscoll's the kind of guy that can all of a sudden turn it around and be in top position, landing meaningful shots, you know, damaging shots that cut and bloody your opponents and, you know, potentially, you know, slip into a rear naked choke. He's a very tough test for everybody. And I don't feel like his record really does him justice. He's able to push a pace which will crack people. And this is something else that, and I've written a note here so I don't forget it. This is something else you have to think about with MMA, right? There was a time when Anderson Silva was 16-4. He was coming off a disqualification loss on a show called Rumble on the Rock to Yushin Okami. Now, probably 2% of the people that have just heard me say that will remember that fight, and they'll be able to picture the illegal upkick from guard and why Anderson Silva got disqualified. 98% of you will probably not know that fight ever existed, because there was a point all of a sudden where Anderson Silva found his groove, and it was the next fight, Tony Frickland, upward elbow, one of the best knockouts ever. The point is, Anderson Silva went from being 16-4 to being 33-4 before he lost to Chris Weidman. And sometimes a fighter stumbles a few times early in their career and then finds their groove. And O'Driscoll is one of those fighters that's got the enthusiasm and the work rate, that's clear. He's also got the right coaches around him, people like Paddy Houlihan and John Kavanagh. So he's constantly going to be adapting his game. And Torres would have raised his level. I feel like Blaine O'Driscoll is going to be someone that in a few years' time, we're going to look at this record of 9-4 and go, wow, well, you know, we can see where he stumbled. You can see how that made him better. And then we're going to start seeing him really come on strong. Of course, we expect a lot from Markayev. But, you know, people have different careers. Markayev went through the amateur route. O'Driscoll, I think, was 6-1 as an amateur, but stumbled a few times as a pro, has had tough fights. And this is another tough fight. But, you know, he's accustomed to these circumstances. He's accustomed to coming in and trying to upset the upset the circumstance. Okay, let's just finish on Markayev. On ideal case scenario, what he does best, and really what Blaine O'Driscoll has to watch out for and expect. And the good thing is that O'Driscoll, he scrambles well. Sometimes turns his back when he's scrambling, I will say that. He scrambles well. He's enthusiastic. He takes a shot. He keeps coming. You know, you can beat this guy up and he's not going to go away. And he's got 4 Rinicky chokes on his record. And most likely, if Markayev's going to get a finish, it's going to be a Rinicky choke. He's got 2 stoppages on his record. So, you know, he is good with his hands. But again, you know, putting Blaine O'Driscoll away is a really difficult thing to do. So what I expect is Markayev to beat him up to an extent on the feet and you know, land the more meaningful shots. And then start level changing and trying to take this fight to the floor. And this is what I mean about adapting. Like, I don't feel like Markayev was really fully committing to that takedown when he shot it. I feel like if he was fighting someone that he really expected to be able to take that, to defend that takedown strong, that he would have made a greater effort. You know, he slid straight to his knees. I've seen a lot of fighters like this in the past. You know, they fight to the level that their opponent brings to the table. And with the pace that O'Driscoll brings, Markayev is going to be pushed. And that's, I think, where we're going to see his best work. Okay, so where are we here? Little build-up. This is a nice adaptation, though. As you can see, Jamie Kelly's pressuring down onto the back of Markayev's head here. Now, Markayev's clamped onto a single leg, head's on the outside, which is not ideal. At the moment, you can see Markayev's kind of driving. He's driving his left shoulder into the front thigh of Kelly. And what he's going to do to adapt it is he's going to drive a bit further in. You see that push, which forces Kelly to post on his hand. And then Markayev's going to go for this trailing leg here. You're going to see his leg come over again. His flexibility is, you know, this does really help. Oh, out of the way, referee. Here we go. Straight over the leg. Hooks that. And pulls it in to collapse his base down. You know, I mean, we've seen so many times with Markayev how he just adapts his wrestling to deal with the problem that's in front of him. And O'Driscoll will continually move, which will force Markayev to work. You know, jumping on his back is going to be one thing, but getting the finish is going to be another. This is ideal case scenario. Like, he clamps onto this immediately. And even with Kelly fighting that top hand, he's not able to create any space. I like the fast attack of Markayev. I like the it's a viper-like bite of a snake. You know, he sees the opportunity and he jumps on it straight away. There's no like gradual, let me play, let me try and work my arm through this. He sees the opportunity as he takes the back and he jumps on it. This is a really good fight and a really good test for Markayev. You've got to think that, you know, John Kavanagh is going to be taking Blaine O'Driscoll, a fighter that he knows really well, and he's going to be looking at Markayev and seeing the vulnerabilities that might be in his game because he's still green as far as a pro goes. And John Kavanagh might know that Blaine O'Driscoll is that guy that if he just pushes enough, he might be able to break through. And that's the question in this fight for me. Is can Blaine O'Driscoll push Markayev to a point where there's a crack in his game? And O'Driscoll can get through. If he can, you know, he's going to be top position, raining punches down, and it's going to be a case of him taking Markayev's back and threatening the Rinicky choke. But of course, you know, everybody watching will be expecting Markayev to win. And with his last fight being a very frustrating first round, no contest, he's had a few months to kind of sit with that energy and dwell on it. And it's not a pleasant place to be. There's an eagerness to get back in there. And that can be really beneficial, but it can also work against you. So let's hope the amateur experience that he's got and those, you know, high pressure IMAF events have taught him some patience, because I think he might need it in this one. This is an excellent fight. Check it out. It's the co-main event of Brave 54, Mokaev against O'Driscoll. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time.